The sudden work-from-home experiment of the past 15 months has worked very well for some people, not so much for others. Derek Thompson has looked at the winners and losers when it comes to office workers and what that means for the future of work. Derek is staff writer at The Atlantic. He joins us every Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hey.
And we know this is true among colleagues. Research papers are showing it's true. Some people fared better. So with the future office space in mind, drum roll, please. You say the first work-from-home winners were the high-income workers at profitable companies, mostly male, 35 to 40. Again.
Yeah, this is
why.
That's right. Yeah, this information comes from a survey that I read that was done by an economist, a couple economists, including Nicholas Bloom at Stanford. And its number one takeaway to me was that the most likely winners of the remote work revolution in the near future are those who, in an economic sense, were already winning. That means white-collar workers. It means high-income white-collar workers. And it might even mean high-income white-collar workers who are men at high-earning companies. That's because not only do they say they like working remotely, they like working from home, but also they tend to work at higher income companies that are more likely to give their workers that hybrid experience that they're demanding. So at least in the short term, I do think that you're likely to see higher income workers at companies like Google and Apple and Facebook be the ones who are sort of loudly celebrating the hybrid or work from home future, while it might take a while for less opulently rich companies to follow suit.
Right. Staying with the winners. Introverts also did well. Maybe they couldn't shine in the office space, but they can from home.
Yeah, I mean, the office is not a natural or inevitable evolution of work. The office, the white-collar office place, was an invention, and it was an invention that welcomes or celebrates very specific personality types, like, for example, people who are extroverts or people who are really good at in-person charisma or giving in-office presentations in front of a bunch of people. That's fine. That's great. But there's a lot of other types of people out there, a lot of other workers out there. Some people aren't extroverts. They're introverts. Some people don't like delivering sparkling presentations in a crowded conference room. They'd much rather, you know, spend time writing an email in order to make that project go all the way through. So it's those that latter group, I think, the introverts, people that are really good at understanding how to use online communication, people who understand even the technical details of, for example, how to share a presentation on Zoom, or those who have the right mix of irony and brevity and charm in their online communications, those, I think, stand to be the early winners from the post-pandemic remote work experience.
And by the way, this could continue to be advantageous for them because people have hybrid workplaces or they keep working from home, these Zoom and Slack and email places are real places. You say they become rooms, and it might be even more so with future technology.
That's exactly right. Yeah. There was a lot of money invested in work from home technology, a lot of patents that came out that are trying to make the work from home experience feel like an in-office experience. I think one way to think about it is that we are really in the early innings of this remote work revolution, even though it felt like the last 15, 16 months were an eternity. In the broader picture, from a technological standpoint, this is the beginning of the revolution. So consider the work from home experience now to be a little bit like iPhone 1. Yes, it was somewhat magical when it came out. It was interesting when it came out. But you compare it to the most recent iterations of the iPhone, and it looks like a pretty fuddy-duddy piece of technology. Mm-hmm. The same thing is going to be true of work from home technologies. I think the experience people have right now is going to seem very version 1.0 compared to the work from home experience they might be able to have in a decade. And both companies and workers are investing a lot of money and a lot of ingenuity in updating that work from home experience at the moment.
Okay, another loser. So sorry to say. Entry-level workers and young people, they are not making friends across cubicles right now.
I think it's really difficult to join a fully virtual company that doesn't have a fully virtual company culture. And there are a lot of people right now, let's say 22 to 25-year-olds, who are entering a company that's used to having a headquarters, they're used to having an office, but because of the pandemic, they had to experiment with this work-from-home stuff, and they don't really know how to make it work. And as a result, these new workers aren't feeling necessarily welcomed into an online culture. Rather, what they feel is like, I don't know how to read the vibe of my colleagues. I only know them because of little icons on Slack and GChat. I don't know their sort of full corporeal selves. I think that's really tough when joining a company. And I'm hopeful that for a lot of companies that are still virtual to a certain extent, they incorporate hybrid models. They incorporate a little bit of office time or company retreats so that people can, you know, enjoy each other, meet each other, you know, in the full flesh.
Okay, this is Office Workers. Derek, we only have a couple seconds here, so I just want to point out something that you write about, which I think is terrific, that this work from home thing has, though, maybe lent to the cultural divide. There are people who are not working from home. They're doing the important things like, you know, picking up trash. And the more and more of a divide we have between these two workforces, it just isn't good for the country, so we got to pay attention to that. Derek Thompson, right, staff writer at The Atlantic. We'll link you to his terrific writing at hearnow.org. Derek, thank you.
Thank you.